Welcome back to the final episode of Smoke in a Cranberry Bog. So far, we've covered a lot, from the waning of the cottage era in the 1920s and 30s to the events of the fire.
But how does a transformative event like the fire of 1947 create a portal for lasting change in Bar Harbor? We're your hosts, Purva
and Maisie.
And you're listening to Through the Dooryard, a podcast for the Bar Harbor Historical Society.
The fire changed the landscape of Bar Harbor. The large estates that were integral to Bar Harbor before the fire were now burnt. As we talked about in our first episode, the already waning interest in Bar Harbor as a summer cottage community meant that after the fire, there was little to no interest in rebuilding them. There was now lots of empty land up for sale that was repurposed into year-round houses or was bought and held to let its value rise for future use.
When you drive into Bar Harbor, you might notice the remnants of stone walls to the right of Eden Street. These belong to the estate Mizentop, originally built for Louisa Dumaresque Hunt, the widow of painter William Morris Hunt. It became the Blue Nose Inn in 1952. Further down on Eagle Lake Road, you might also notice a stone wall in front of the Emerson School building. These are ruins of the Langland Cottage, built in 1886 for Charles Jackson and owned finally by the Turkish prince, Mehmet Burhanuddin. After the fire, this land was repurposed to build this public elementary school, which is still in use today.
These are potent examples of how land was reused either to serve the year-round community or build businesses. So with these new developments in mind, what did Bar Harbor look like in the decades following the fire?
Well, largely the focus was on creating a sustainable year-round economy, and a lot of interesting year-round businesses came out of that initiative. For instance, the Bar Harbor Toy Company was in part created to give jobs to people such as the veterans or tradesmen who had recently lost their jobs as a result of either the fire or the ending of the World War II.
And so the kids who grew up in the 50s and 60s, you had Bees where you could go and get candy, right? But at the same time, there was an appliance store, there was an electronics store, there was the movies, there was a year-round movie theater at the time. Restaurants were actually open year-round, which hadn't been the case before. And so there was much more of a coming together for the community than there had been before. There was much more of a solidifying of a core year-round group. And a lot of those people were the merchants, and a lot of those people were people who worked in the hotels.
Unfortunately, in a rural place like Bar Harbor, this kind of economy isn't quite sustainable. And so we're brought back to the ultimate answer once again, the reliance on tourism. One of the biggest draws to Bar Harbor is our proximity to Acadia National Park. There was a huge effort to focus on rebuilding the park. In his article, Ghost of 47 for Acadia Magazine, David Mansky writes, quote, "Immediately after the fire, the National Park Service and John D. Rockefeller's crews and contractors conducted an intensive and wide-scale cleanup to reduce hazards associated with downed trees and to improve the aesthetics and appearance of the recently burned areas of the park," end quote. The salvaged timber was then used to reconstruct areas of the park and provided for free to local residents for personal use. This lasting environmental impact of the fire can now be seen in the regrown forests of Acadia 75 years later.
Another long-lasting impact of the fire of 1947 was its impact on policy change, specifically as it relates to firefighting and mutual aid. The mutual aid effort during the 47 fire was put together quickly and in time of chaos. Joyce Butler's interview with Lloyd Davis for Wildfire Lewis speaks to perhaps a sentiment of neglect felt by some communities.
And here's another thing. It interfered with that fire. The first 4 or 5 days was having the Bar Harbor fire. Yeah. And the millionaires at Bar Harbor and the newspaper men downcountry didn't know your county existed.
I know it.
They sent 100 pumps to Bar Harbor up Route 1, and until we got the National Guard with rifles, we couldn't stop them. The last of the fire, we started stopping them and shipping them in here.
In that sense, the new mutual aid compact developed after the fire was a pretty impactful policy change, because in a lot of ways, it ensures communities in need receive aid efficiently. These are just some of the lasting effects of the Fire of 47. Bar Harbor has since bounced back from this catastrophe to its resort town glory days.
One of the most exciting things for me during this whole process was learning about the effort after the fire in the 50s and 60s to create a stable year-round economy. Because if you've ever seen Bar Harbor in the winter, it's pretty dead. Bar Harbor is notoriously busy in the summer. We're the number one cruise ship port in the state of Maine, but in the winter, the streets feel empty. So what happened to this focus on the year-round community?
I mean, catastrophes like the fire can sometimes act as portals that help us refocus our attention on what's most important, the well-being and sustainability of our community. With time passing, it's easy to lose touch with that. In some ways, through excavating our past, we allow for a more personal relationship to it. So we aren't dismembered from it, but rather remembered with it, and can hopefully help us hold our present decisions with responsibility and care.
All right, Porva. That's enough Walter Benjamin for one day. We want to thank you all for listening, and we welcome any questions and comments. We also want to thank everyone who sat down and talked to us. Please stay tuned for our next series about a not-so-secret secret dance.
And as always, we'll see you next time.